This is the Sports Bosses on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Miami, here's Jim Rodriguez and Sean Stanley.
Inside the Miami Media Schools, SB Nation Radio, Sports Bosses, Jim Rodriguez, Chris Tubbs, and Sean Stanley. Sean Salisbury in the head.
Draymond Murray here. Thank you for bringing me out.
We were just talking about Salisbury calling Lingerie Football League, and I had Salisbury on the brain. Sorry. My bad. Oh, damn. That's it. No more whiskey sours before noon. That's it. I'm just going straight to vodka.
Well, don't get too, don't make an irrational decision you're going to regret there, J-Rod.
Right. No. That's it. You know what? The time has come. We're just sticking to the vodka. No more whiskey. Whiskey makes me crazy. It's like that maple syrup. Listen, tonight, game three of the Warriors and Cavs. I've got to double check my facts after I just dropped my co-host here. Let's go to our Quicken Loans guest line here. Talk to our buddy who has been on the show before. Always good to have our man, the writer and editor of Fear the Sword, that is the Cleveland Cavaliers SB Nation blog. It's Chris Manning. You can follow him on Twitter at CWM Writes. Chris, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely, man. I mean, you can't blame a guy when you start talking about Sean Salisbury and Lingerie League, right? I mean, of course I'm going to have that in there. On my mind, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So listen, Chris, game three tonight that's been favorable for the Cavs in previous finals. Cleveland did blow out Golden State by 30 in a game three. When you come back to Cleveland after picking up the pieces of two losses, including that brutal game one loss, where are the Cavs today? Where are they mentally? Where are they emotionally? Are they checked out already? Is this series over?
I mean, I think basketball-wise, it's going to be tough just because Andre Iguodala looks like he's at least going to play, if not tonight, in Game 4 on Friday. So that's going to give Golden State another leg up. But I think the time off for the Cavs, I think that two-day break was good for them. I think LeBron seemed pretty refreshed and energized in a way he maybe didn't for Game 2 yesterday. It's hard to know because he was just did that one media spot. So, and I haven't, talked to one-on-one or anything, so it's just hard to know exactly. But I think that time off should help them. I'd expect them to have the event, and we'll see what that results in. But I would expect to see that looks a little bit fresher, maybe is fully over game one by now as they try to even up the series at home or at least take it back to Oracle for at least one more game.
Now, Chris, when you sit and you look at this, they're down 2-0. Tyronn Lue's like, we need to make some adjustments. He's looking down the bench and he goes, Rodney Hood, you're my guy. What does that say about where the Cleveland Cavaliers are?
I mean, it's tough because Rodney was good in Utah. He at least showed some flashes in Utah, and they've tried to get him going before, but it hasn't quite worked out. But I think when you look at what they sort of need and what their roster has available to them, you can talk yourself into it because Jordan Clarkson just is not a good basketball player. He's made some pretty questionable decisions in the series. Was not good in Game Two and didn't really play in the second half of Game Two. If you're looking at changing something up to try to get another guy who's long out there, can create his own shot and shoot, you're hoping Rodney Hood can reclimate that. I mean, he's been bad in the playoffs. He's barely played in the playoffs. He had a couple good games with the Cavs. He had an 11-point fourth quarter in one game that helped them win a regular season game. But I think you have to hope that he can just find himself and take advantage of whatever chance he gets. I think it's asking a lot of him, and I'd be surprised if he did particularly well. But I think it's just he's available on the roster, and I think he's the next guy up in Ty's hierarchy.
Now, when you do what we do for a living, you're tempted and you try not to be very overreactive. In other words, one game, it's not the end of the world. But again, it also is what sells. It's what gets clicks. It's got to be exhausting, Chris, to be a Cavaliers fan because every win, every loss, whether it's in November or in June, is LeBron leaving or LeBron staying? It's got to be exhausting, right?
Yeah, I mean, when I do a radio hit, I get asked about it. And, I mean, not you guys, but, everyone else, the first, second thing they ask is, is LeBron staying or going? I'm like, we have no idea. I think anyone who is speculating on that right now is just sort of not going to get a good answer, right? Like, because he's not going to make his decision. We know LeBron's going to take his time to make his decision, but it does hang over the head. I mean, there was a quote from Dan Gilbert that sticks out of my mind as he, I'm going to wait until after the finals because he knows he's sort of at LeBron's mercy in this. I think the franchise as a whole just has to wait on LeBron, and that complicates their offseason plans, I would say, but LeBron does not owe them that. But I think, you know, every game you get closer to it, it becomes more and more of a reality, even though, like, the season ends on Friday. It could be 3-4 weeks, a month, as much as until LeBron decides where he's going to play next year, and that will kind of hold everything up as we look at the summer.
Now, Chris, when the Cleveland Cavaliers, of course, is LeBron's team in this, and you look at Kevin Love as the number two, who in this series with Golden State needs to step up to be that number three in order for them to even try to fight back into this series? Who do you see as being that player they need to step up?
It's George Hill. I think George Hill is someone who really needs to make a good defensive effort, whether he gets switched on to KD, which the Warriors have hunted down a lot, whether he's on Curry and chasing Curry off free screens. He needs to be the guy that's got his hand up there and is making good, smart defensive plays. On the offensive end, he needs to be a secondary ball handler. He needs to make some shots. He needs to take advantage of the open threes that he gets. To me, it's pretty clear that he's the number three guy. You could argue, I think, even that he might even be more important than Love because he just has to do so much and sort of fits the style of what Golden State does to counter that better than Love. But I think he has to just be great on both ends of the floor if the Cavs have any shot. I mean, you just look at the difference in the playoffs when he's been good and when he's been bad. The Cavs are a completely different team just because they take some of that pressure off LeBron to make shots, to create for others. And he's a good defender and just a really smart, petty player.
Talking to Chris Manning, he's the writer and editor of Fear the Sword. That's the SB Nation Cavaliers blog. You can follow it at Fear the Sword, and you can follow Chris at CWM Writes. Now, I am an unabashed LeBron lover. I love the guy. I think he's made mistakes, the decision, you know, in terms of PR. But again, what he does doesn't get enough credit both on and off the court. Tell me about the latest barrage of hatred that's coming at him when that video surfaced of, in the television world, it's called a melt, you know, the unedited video of J.R. Smith and the Cavs going back to the bench as they go into overtime in game one after J.R.'s a boner there, and LeBron just sitting there stewing. A lot of people are criticizing that LeBron should have been rallying the troops, should have been saying, all right, this is what we're going to do. What's your take on that?
You know, it's tough because I think
there's a lot of hate on LeBron that he should have done more.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I think you just look at how everything sort of unfolded with this group. Like, they missed a bunch of opportunities in game one. I think they came out a little bit flat in game two. They came out in overtime of game one just shook. You could just see that they were not going to win that game. I think for the moment that they stepped on the floor, the body language was not great. LeBron is someone who I think does elevate people. There's a piece by Kevin Pelton that I need to read that kind of dives into that statistically, but I think LeBron is someone that believes in people. There's a really good Ben Cohen story out right now in the Wall Street Journal about how LeBron learned at a young age to his teammates need to succeed for him to succeed. Like, that is a core belief of his. So but I also get in the moment of how frustrated he was, and the video in that is doesn't look great, but it doesn't. I don't know if that tells the exact whole story. We need, you know, it's just that one moment right after they kind of find out there. But it's also what the Cavs are not really in a position where they should be asking LeBron to do even more at anything. The guy literally is the reason that they are in the finals, that they are a franchise that has any sort of reputability right now. It is LeBron James that happened. He has to get some help in whatever way it comes, whether it's just knowing what the score is, knowing how many timeouts you have, whatever. It's hard for me to say LeBron needs to do more because he just does so much for every part of the franchise.
Because with that being said, if LeBron does stay in Cleveland, what changes do you see needing to be for next season? Because this has got to be a different looking Cavs team if he stays.
Yeah, you know, it'll be tough. It's not like they're overloaded with assets, but I would expect some trades. You know, I don't know if that involves trading the number 8 pick. I don't know if that involves you know, flipping other future picks. I don't know if that involves swapping out salaries. I don't know if that, you know, if there's a way LeBron's going to be able to, like, do some recruiting to get someone to force their way to Cleveland. Like, think about Paul George, who they came very close to getting last summer. That, to me, would be the stuff that I would guess they go after. Because I can't imagine, even if the Cavs will have a hard time doing it, I can't imagine their pitch to LeBron is, well, you know, we made the finals with this group this year. We're just going to re-sign Rodney Hood and and bring back these other guys and, like, you know, just keep the same roster, and you're going to have to drag them there again. I just can't imagine that is something he would be up for. Even if it's hard for them to make wholesale changes because they're just sort of asset-strapped, I think I'd be surprised if they didn't try to do something this summer. I think change is coming no matter what to some degree, but the way it happens and how drastic it is will be really interesting to find out. That, to me, is the big – aside from LeBron, what the Cavs do to change things up in some way is the big story of their summer.
And then also, Chris, you brought up about him and how his teammates, and, you know, it's his core belief that, you know, he's not successful without a teammate. Can he, and I know the body language, and they came out flat in game two. Is there a way that just because game three, they're back in Cleveland, that this turn, he can turn this back around after seeing what J.R. Smith did? You have so many instances where some of the teammates have let him down, and I understand an NBA season is going to happen over and over, but it seems to be they always, when he does his best, it seems like there's always somebody against him. Is that something they can flip around, you think? He can get through?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they've been better at home the whole playoffs. I mean, they've only lost one game at home. They certainly, I think, feed off that energy. They look more comfortable. And there are some good performances they've gotten that I think they can take back. I guess there's a lot of – Jared maybe had the worst gaffe in finals history, but
yeah.
You had a guy like Larry Nance did well in Oracle. Tristan Thompson played, I think, decent in Oracle. George Hill was not as bad as he was on the road in Boston. He was actually pretty decent. It might not be enough because Golden State's just so good, and again, they might get Iguodala back, but I think them being home – them being in an environment they're comfortable with and having at least some good performances. Like Larry Nance acclimated himself really well, and Kevin Love has, I thought, done a relatively good job at least doing what he does it to the best he can in this series. So I think they have to hope that helps itself, and they have to hope that the crowd, that this and what the mood of the crowd is like, will kind of push them up to another degree. I think they have to hope they settle in just a little bit better.
All right, we'll see if they can get off to that good start here tonight. Game three, Chris Manning, Fear the Sword, SB Nation blog, Cleveland Cavaliers. Thank you, sir, as always, for joining us here on the Sports Bosses.
Thank you, guys.
All right, and CM Tubbs, game three tonight. What are you thinking?
I think you're looking at a team right now in Cleveland that they know that they missed their shot. They know that they had their best shot was in game one. You could tell the body language in overtime. They knew they were beat. You saw the performance. Now, I think when they come out in game three, because it's at home, I think you can come out and get out of the gate quickly. But I don't think I think if the Cavs are going to get a game, it's going to be game three. I would not be surprised if at all the Cavs come out with a ton of energy, get off to that good start, get the crowd hyped up, get the crowd into it. Then you get to halftime. Coming out of halftime, Golden State goes on their customary run in the third quarter, and then they leave Cleveland in their wake, and it's a 7-10 point game. That's where I see it going. As much as I'd like to see it, I think that gaffe and the end of game one, the regulation of game one, I think that changed it right then and there. That changed the series, my opinion.
Yeah, you and J-Rob both said 4-1 for Golden State. I said 4-2, and I thought they could take game one. J.R. Smith took that away from me, and he took that hope and dream away from every Cleveland Cavaliers fan. Now I just hope it's
over. But most
over
importantly, he took it away from
two.
You. He took it away from you.
That's why I said me first. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's all about me. When we come back, it's what we learned today and why I believe today, this date, might even be worse off for Tyronn Lue. We'll discuss that next. Sports Bosses, SB Nation Radio.